I am Pastor Jake Carroll, pastor of hospitality here at Habba's House. And so I want to make you feel welcome. So if you are wearing shorts, blue jeans, and you're not wearing a collared shirt, I need you to leave. Oh. You know, when I started dating Rhonda, and actually when I met her for the first time, Rhonda's my wife, and, you know, being a pastor, I got hung up with a last-minute ministry need, so I was running late. There was a revival going on at her church. We didn't go to church together, never met her before, didn't know where she come from, hadn't ever seen her before. We had mutual friends that were matchmakers, if you will, so I go on to her church, and this is on a Monday night. I walk in the back doors of the church. Okay, I slip in the back doors, and you know the sanctuary is relatively full. There's about 400 folks in the sanctuary. I walk in the back door, and everyone in the sanctuary, well, they're looking at the choir, which is on stage, and as you looked at the choir, the organist saw me first. She gave the sign. She had this big smile all of a sudden. And then as soon as that happened, all the choir gave us a look. As soon as they looked, that cued the audience, and they all turned around and they looked at me, trying to sneak in inconspicuously and under radar at the back of the church. That didn't work out well. I thought, well, okay, we'll just kind of slip in the back, you know, back here in the back, and it'll be okay, you know, just kind of slip in back there. So the people I was with, they said, oh no, we came all the way right up here to this second row. I thought, oh me, of all things. Talk about being inconspicuous. That didn't happen that night. I felt kind of weird because everyone in the church, they kind of knew because it was their girl, Rhonda, and she was 28 at the time. And so we were to meet for the first time. The whole church loved her and all of this. And so they were going to look to see who this suitor was that was coming in the door. And it was me. Talk about feeling a little bit out of place. That was it. All right? It's just kind of weird. Have you ever gone to a church, though? Some of you, I'm sure, are about to tell me yes. Have you ever gone to a church, and when you walked in, you felt like as soon as you darkened the door of the church, somebody sized you up? Has anybody ever said, you're going to have to lose that cap if you're going to be inside here? Oh, those jeans, those won't work in here. You're going to have to go do something else with those. I'll tell you what, when you go get those changed, you can come back. Have you ever heard that? Oh, by the way, sir, you're sitting in my seat. I'd appreciate it if you would sit elsewhere. You know what? Let me ask you a question. As Christians, is it okay to judge? Yes or no? Who says no? Raise your hand. Commit. Make a commitment. It's a two-way yes or no. Who says no? Who says yes? Who says I don't have a clue? That's what I'm here to learn. I'm going to tell you the answer, but only if you promise to stay to the end. Promise to stay to the end? Okay, the answer is yes. Christians can judge. The answer is yes. Now I'm going to show you why and how, where, and under what circumstances. And it's an expectation that you will do just that. And I want you to pay real close attention as we kind of work through that. One of the things about Habba's House that I want you to pick up on real quick. It is a melting pot of it doesn't matter about your past. It's a melting pot of it doesn't matter about your past. Who in here has a past? I want you to raise your hand and I want you to hold up your hands. Keep them up. If you have a past, raise your hand. Of those of you that have your hand raised with a past, how many of you have now taken that past before the throne of grace, asked Jesus' blood to cover it, cleanse it, forgive it, and wash it away? If you've done that, put your hands down. I want to tell you that the first truth I'm going to lay out for you is you no longer have a past and you should have never raised your hand the first time. You no longer have a past. Amen? You agree with that? Because Jesus teaches us clearly in Scripture that once you are covered with His blood, you no longer have a past because it's all been what? washed away and forgiven. So it's all about your future. That's what we care about here at Abba's House. We care about the future, not the past. So let's quit looking at the back. By the way, Jesus never looked what was coming up behind. He always looked where He was going. And that's exactly the example that we need to follow here as well. I want you to get out a sheet of paper, a note paper, a piece of paper, a scrap, a corner. You can write on your phone. I don't care, but I'm going to ask you to do four things while I'm sharing the message tonight. There's four things I want you to do while I'm doing, while I'm sharing the message. I want you to think about four things. The first one is this. I want you to write down the name of somebody that is lost or unsaved, does not have a relationship with Christ. I want you to write down their name. First name, initials, first name. Write it down. Second thing I want you to do is I want you to think of somebody else that needs a church home. Somebody else that needs a church. Okay? First one is, who do you know that's not saved or you think might not be saved? Two, who needs a church home? You write down their name, first name. Third thing is, somebody that has judged you. Somebody that has judged you. For whatever the reason, whatever the cause, you feel like they have judged you. And the fourth, someone you have judged. And the fourth, someone you have judged. Now you can work on those four things. Somebody's lost, needs a church home, judged you, and you have judged. I want you to work on those four people while I get to sharing the message tonight. And if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Matthew chapter 7. And we're going to read the first five verses of Matthew chapter 7. Do not judge so that you won't be judged. Well, wait a minute, Pastor. You just told us that we were supposed to judge, and the first scripture you read says, do not judge. Trust me, we'll get there. Hang on. Do not judge so that you won't be judged. For with the judgment you use, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but don't notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and look, there's a log in your eye? Hypocrite! First, take the log out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Let's pray. Father, tonight, I thank you, Lord, for just allowing us into your presence. But Lord, I thank you most of all for leaving heaven's throne room and coming to this earth to die on the cross for our sins, to give us a hope, to give us the example, to teach us how we are to live, to bring honor and glory to you. Lord, without you, Lord, without you, there is no way we can make it till tomorrow. But Lord, with you, there is nothing that is impossible because you speak to us and use us. Lord, tonight I pray that you would use me as a vessel of honor for you, that you would speak the words you would have to be spoken tonight. Lord, I also pray that as we continue on tonight, that you would reveal to each of our minds the four people, Lord, that you would have us to think about and to pray about. Lord, I pray too that you'd open up our eyes, our ears, and our hearts, that our hearts would be touched and our lives changed as we study your word tonight. In your most holy and precious name, we do pray and ask these things. Amen. So, I heard about a couple. I've done my fair share of counseling, and I had a couple. And they were kind of sharing a little bit, and you know, the groom-to-be, if you will, he was just kind of sharing, you know, I'm finally found my bride. I finally found the girl of my dreams. I finally found her. Well, that's great. Yeah, it took me a long time, because I kept bringing girls home, and Mama would run them off. I said, well, why would she do that? Well, she would just jump all over them because their hair wasn't right. They weren't wearing the right clothes. They didn't say the right things. They didn't look right. They behaved stupid. They didn't dress good. And they were no good for her boy. And so they just would leave. And so this happened time and time and time again. I said, well, what changed things? And he said, well, I went to one of my buddies. I was talking to him, and he gave me some great advice. He said, I tell you what, if you will find somebody just like your mama, She'll approve. He said, great, that's what I'll do. So he went out and he searched and searched and searched. And oh, he tried so hard. And finally he found the girl that was just like his mama. He proudly brought her home to meet the parents for the first time. Brought her home, and mama, she checked her out and scoped her and studied her head to toe in every way possible. And finally, she said, good to go. She meets approval. And he thought, oh, yes, thank you. Dad said he didn't like her. Okay, so that's corny preacher joke 642. You don't have to listen to that anymore. But it does set us up for how much we actually do judge. And let's look at Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1. It says, do not judge so that you won't be judged. And here it is. Who are you to judge someone else? Who are you to judge someone else? You are nobody. You are not capable of that because you didn't write the law. Only the person who wrote the law can judge against the law. And who wrote the law? God the Father, right? So He wrote the law. And that's what we follow. So if you're going to follow the law, if you're going to do what the law says, if you're going to follow what God says, you can't make your own rules. It's God's rules. And He gave us His Word to follow while we're here. And He spells things out right here in His Word. Agreed? Amen? All right. So we're in agreement there. So do not judge so that you won't be judged. Verse 2 says, for with the judgment you use, you will be judged. So if I judge you against this standard, just like against mama's standard or daddy's standard here, if I judge you against that standard, what makes me any better? By the way, when I have to stand before God Almighty on Judgment Day, and we will all stand there, okay? When I have to stand there, the same measure that I use against you will be applied to me. So if I'm saying that you're no good, you're not worthy enough, you're not capable enough, you're not good enough, that same measure I'm applying to you will be applied to me. So every time that you go to judge someone, that same measure will be applied back to you on Judgment Day. Okay? Think about that and let it sink in for a minute. You need to remember that. Because we are called to judge. Oh, okay. But we're not called to judge others. See, I said, are Christians called to judge? And the answer there is yes. Are we called to judge others? And the answer there is no. Well, how does that work? And hence we hit the dilemma that we all face. First point here is we are not to relate judgmentally to others. We are not to relate judgmentally to others. I'm not to judge you. I'm to help you. And we spend a lot of time on judging, and many of us have been brought up, don't judge, don't judge, don't judge someone else, don't judge this, don't judge, right? You've all been told that your whole life. And that's what many people have thought, but that's not what Scripture tells us to do. So let's also look at 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to determine if they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Are you responsible for what you listen to and watch? Yeah. Are you going to have to give an accounting for what you listen to and what you watch and what you allow into your life? Absolutely. On Judgment Day, you will have to give an answer for that. Oh, by the way, let me give you the answer real quick. You know what you need to do? Dear Lord, I know that I've sinned. Please remove this and forgive me of my sin so that way it can be forgiven and forgotten. All right? But it says to test every spirit. How many of you know a Christian? How many of you know of a pastor or know of a Christian, a follower of Christ who is giving out bad information, unbiblical information. Anybody know folks like that? Do you realize that you are to test the Spirit? Whenever I share God's Word, I always tell everybody that listens, I tell you this. You need to take everything that you are told and compare it back to God's Word. Scripture verifies Scripture. I don't verify Scripture. You don't verify Scripture. Scripture verifies Scripture. Therefore, everything that you are ever taught, every law, has two places in Scripture or more that support the same thought. So everything that you listen to, everything that you learn, everything that you're challenged, you are to compare it back to God's Word. If you don't compare it back to God's Word, that's on you. You must compare it always back to God's Word. That's a fact. So the first thing here is, it says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to determine if they are from God." So how is it that I'm supposed to test? I have to judge whether the Spirit is or is not from God. I have to judge whether what you're telling me is or is not from God. True or false? True. So am I judging? The answer is yes. You have to make that decision. You have to choose what is right. Let's go to John chapter 7 and verse 24. John chapter 7 and verse 24. John chapter 7 and verse 24. Stop judging according to outward appearances. Rather judge according to righteous judgment. When I talked to you earlier as I kind of got underway, I asked you about your clothes and your looks and how you looked and behaved and all of those outward things. That really doesn't matter, but how many times do you know, how many times have you heard of people judging somebody else of what they were wearing or how they looked or how they fixed their hair? Are all these other things. You know, folks, none of that matters. None of that matters. Get over it. I'm ugly. I know it. You know, the mirror tells me that all the time. So don't judge me for it, right? And that's what we're told here. It says, don't stop judging according to outward appearances. Look past what's on the outside and look what's on the inside. Because when Jesus died on the cross, who did He die for? What did He die for? He died for us, and He died for us on our souls and our hearts, which is inside, and you can't see what's going on inside. How many of you have ever been driving down the road, and somebody else in another vehicle is like all over you, and it's like, dude, get away, or you know... You don't know what they're going through at that moment in time. They could be having a very tragic moment in their life. And so give them a little space. It'll be safer for you in the long run. Give them a little space, all right? And let them go on. Let them be that aggressive driver and go on, because you don't know what else is going on in their life. Have you ever had a bad day? Yeah. And whenever you're having a bad day, have you ever been snippy at work or at home? Y'all know what snippy is? Now, if you tell me no, you haven't, I know you're lying, and this is church. I'll see you at the altar at the end, all right? So, you know, whenever you've been snippy, why have you been snippy? Because you've been under duress, all right? Well, that doesn't mean that all of a sudden I need to judge you for being snippy. It says I need to pray for you and encourage you because apparently you're having a rough day. Don't judge somebody. That's what this is telling us. God's Word says, stop judging according to outward appearances, rather judge according to righteous judgment. What does that mean? That means that if I'm going to judge, I'm going to judge your actions and I'm going to judge them against God's Word. I'm going to take what you're doing and I'm going to compare it to God's Word. Let's go to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, and we're going to look at the first four verses. Accept anyone who is weak in faith, but don't argue about doubtful issues. One person believes he may eat anything, but one who is weak eats only vegetables. One who eats must not look down on one who does not eat, and one who does not eat must not criticize one who does, because God has accepted him. Because God has accepted him. Who are you to criticize another's household slave? Before his own Lord, he stands or falls, and he will stand. For the Lord is able to make him stand. I've prayed with fortunately, many people and been able to lead them to Christ. And God will impress upon their heart, and they'll come to that moment in time where they say, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I've broken your laws, and I am so sorry. And I want to ask you to come live in my life. I'm privileged to lead that person to Christ. It's a wonderful moment. There's angels celebrating in heaven at that moment. Their name is written in Christ's blood in the Lamb's Book of Life, recorded for all of eternity in heaven. They're feeling great because they've been washed, and for the first time in their life, their past is no longer. They've got a clean start, a fresh start on life, and they're doing good. They get home. They say a bad word. And the adult figure in the house says, you can't be saved because a Christian would never talk like that. True story. They get in a fight with their sibling. You can't be saved because if you were really saved, you wouldn't have done that. Real Christians don't act like that. Do you know what that does? Do you know what that does? That is so wrong. The first step for anybody is to come to the realization in Christ, I know that I'm a sinner and I know I've broken God's rules. Come live in my life. From that moment on, nobody pushed the reset button on your fleshly body. From that moment, at that moment, your flesh still is living in the way it used to live. Your soul and your, it hadn't got there yet. You got to work on it. We've got to invest and help them grow. But instead we judge and tell them otherwise. That's not what God's Word tells us to do. Instead, as a mature follower of Christ, I am to invest and mentor and carry them through and encourage them, because God does the cleaning, not me. Amen? My job is to share the gospel, share the good news, to share God's love, to teach what God's Word says. God in the Holy Spirit works and cleans throughout life. How many of you are still being cleaned? Still being cleaned? By the way, how are you coming on your list of four? Keep working on your list of four, all right? So, that's Romans. Let's look at Romans chapter 2. Just back up a little bit. Romans chapter 2 and verse 1. Therefore, any of you who judges is without excuse. For when you judge another, you condemn yourself, since you, the judge, do the same thing. I'm perfect, in case you didn't know that. By the way, the last time I thought that and I walked on water, I got wet. I am not perfect. Neither are you. We're all equal. There is no sin that any of us have committed or will commit that is greater or lesser than any of the others. God sees all sin as sin, just straight up. Okay? So don't rank them in this, you know, order. We do that on earth, but God doesn't. He said, sin covered. That's how He did it. So don't get into this rank and file system. Stay away from that. And it says here, though, if any of you judges as... Let me try that again. Therefore, any of you who judges is without excuse. For when you judge another, you condemn yourself. How is that possible? Well, if I'm going to point my finger at you, you've heard illustration before, you got to remember what? There's three more fingers coming back at me, because I'm probably three times guilty. By the way, if you ever want to know a preacher's sin, it's the one he preaches on the loudest. If you want to know what's going on in someone's life that they don't want anyone else to know, it's the one that they shout the loudest. True? Think about it. It's the one that they're the hardest on. And when they see the news story on TV or when they hear about it going on, they say, yep, he's sinning. And they'll go off on that. That's what's going on in their life. Because remember, one forward, three back. Be careful how we judge. Therefore, if any of you judges is without excuse, for when you judge another, you condemn yourself, since you, the judge, do the same things. Ouch. Matthew chapter 7. Let's go back there. Let's look at verse 2. For with the judgment you use, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So that means that whatever stick I use, I will also have to be measured against that stick. And by the way, the judge of judges is God the Father. There is a day that we will all stand before God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And our sins will be there because the accuser will make sure that he is represented. And Jesus is going to say, those sins have been covered. I've paid the price for them all. They're done. Amen? All right. And that's, but, well, if that's the case, what is heaven going to look like? Y'all know Billy Graham, right? Y'all have heard of Billy Graham, right? I hope so. If you haven't, ask somebody. Ask somebody that's over 30 or 40. I'll stop there. Dating myself a little bit. Billy Graham, has he ever hurt anybody? Was he God's chosen man? Has he made some mistakes? Sure. But he's solid as a rock. Amen? All right, so what measure is going to be used? He still sinned. Did he call somebody out purposefully on that? I don't think he did. When he stands before God and judgment is given, there's crowns that will be given to us in heaven. I don't know if you know that or not, but there are crowns. And you can look for the crown doctrine and you can do your own research for that. We talk about stars in our crown, but it's really actual crowns, okay? We'll save that for another message, but you'll be given a crown. So when you're given that crown, how many crowns are you going to receive when you get to heaven? How many crowns? How many rewards? And you've heard various stories. You know, this person had a shack, this person had a mansion. By the way, I'd rather have a shack in heaven than a mansion on earth. Amen? That's where I want to be. So you get to heaven. Those are rewards that are there. Billy Graham is going to have an incredible reward waiting on him while he's there. He's enjoying a massive reward. And he hasn't seen the half yet. I'm just confident of that. What are we going to get? You'll be there, but your reward will be different. So we're not to relate judgmentally to others. We are also not to relate to others hypercritically. And verse 3 and 4 of Matthew chapter 7 tell us that. They read, "Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but don't notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' and look, there's a log in your eye?" Now, by the way, this is not saying stick a log in your eye. Okay? And the word is actually one and the same. If you ever had an eyelash or a splinter in your eye? Kept you from seeing clearly, right? Till you got it out. You know, if you take that eyelash and you put it right out here, it's kind of small. But when you put it right here, it's what? Kind of big, all right? So this is all you see. I work in emergency services and we use the thumb principle. Y'all know what the thumb principle is? If you see a hazardous material spill, you put your thumb up like this. If the hazardous material or if that spill is bigger than your thumb, you're too close, back up. That's how that works, okay? Think about it. So if the thumb covers it, you're good. Now we've gone to using our pinky, which is a little smaller, so you need to back up some. The speck that is in your eye is right here, and it's so big, you can't see truth for what's in your eye. That's what this is saying. This is a speck versus a log. Okay, if I'm going to call you out on something, then I need to be cautious because if it's applying to me too, right? It all looks different. I got to look right here. I got to take care of me first. When I get myself aligned, everything else works out okay. So my first step is, I got to get me in check. Folks will come into church and they'll say the music's too loud. the Sun Life Quartet, Frank and Stan and Frank and I can't remember everybody right now, but anyway. By the way, those of you that know Frank Style, his brother Terry Style, need to lift him up in prayer. He's got some hard news that just came his way, so y'all lift up Terry Style. But Sun Life Quartet, they sing a song called Excuses. Excuses, excuses, you hear them every day. The devil, he'll supply them if from church you'll stay away. Remember that song maybe? And they sing that, and they do a really good job. I butchered it, but Frank Pollard, he can really sing the good bass part. You can get all of those excuses that will keep you away from church. You can get all those excuses that keep you from doing everything you need to do for God. And as it goes down through the list, I can look and find everything wrong with church. I can look and find everything wrong with you. Just like mama did that daughter, just like you can look at somebody else when they come in that door and be judgmental about where they are. Just like you can be with a coworker, you can be with somebody out in the community, you can be with someone in school, and you can judge them for how they look or how they act or whatever's going on in their life right there, and that's not appropriate. That's looking at the speck in them, but the real problem is right here. Because what's that saying about my spirit? What does God tell me to do? God tells me, as the mature spiritual follower of Christ, to mentor those who are not as far along in their Christian walk as I am. My job as a follower of Christ, as a mature follower of Christ, is to invest everything I know into everyone else. Agreed? What is your job? It's the same thing. No matter who you are, whether you're my age, older, younger, even down to you are a young person. Young persons, you're supposed to do the same thing. Invest, because it's all about your Christian walk. Invest in someone else. That's where this is coming from. That's what we're being told here in Matthew. Get the log out of your eye so you can work with someone else. So what do I do with that? Well, you don't want to judge. You don't want to relate to others hypocritically. Instead, we are to be brothers and sisters to each other. Matthew chapter 7, verse 5. Wake up now. Hypocrite, first take the log out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. My first step is to deal with me. I've got to make sure that I am aligned with Christ. I use the triangle most often. Triangle. If I'm working with someone, I will tell them that your first task is to align with God. Your first task is to align with God. When you are aligned, you will be one. My job as a follower of Christ is to first be aligned with what God would have me to do. When I'm aligned with God, then that makes me able to be aligned with you. That makes me able to share the truth with you. Does that make sense? All right. So the first step is I got to take care of Jake. Once Jake is squared away, then I can work with others. That's what we're being told. Matthew chapter 5, though. Back up. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. Most of you know this as the Sermon on the Mount or the Beatitudes. And I'm going to look at the first two real quick. Chapter 5, verse 3 of the book of Matthew. The poor in spirit are blessed, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Those who mourn are blessed, for they will be comforted. The two key words are poor and mourn. And I'm not going to be able to fully develop those words here tonight, but I'll challenge you to go do your own research. Mourn, we often think of at a funeral. Someone has gone home, and so we mourn for their passing, but that's not what this means. When you mourn, you are mourning because you realize how much sin you actually have inside of your heart. And because I mourn so much, those who mourn because I realize the sin that is in me, you are more blessed and you will be comforted when you come before God the Father and realize that all that you have, all that you've done wrong, all the laws you've broken have been forgiven. And when, so you are able to see the bigger picture here, you're able to realize how much Jesus forgave you. You're able to see how much He forgave of you, how much He cleansed you. And when you realize what His blood did for you and how much He washed you clean, when you see that, you become so heavy that you realize that is a true blessing. And so your heart mourns at that moment, and you'll be blessed and comforted when you realize how much Jesus has really done for you. Now, I don't have time to fully develop that thought. You go and research it, and I hope one day I can share that, the rest of that, with you. I want you to realize that thought, though, because as we realize where we are, that allows us to help someone else. And investing in someone else is exactly what we need to do. My daughter, Jamie, she's kind of outspoken. And so recently we had, I know, preacher's daughter outspoken. It's hard to believe, I know, but she is. So I had a discussion recently. She had some friends that were talking, and she is 14. She had some friends that were talking about premarital relations. And so I was kind of talking through that particular discussion. Said, okay, well, what are you going to do about it, Jamie? Well, nothing. What do you mean, nothing? Well, that's them. If that's what they want to do, then, well, that's them. You know, what do you think about it? Well, I think it's wrong. Shouldn't do that. God tells us not to. Well, are you going to tell them? No. Why not? Well, they'll think I'm hating on them because I tell them they shouldn't do that. We've gotten in a society to where we think that if we tell someone they shouldn't do something according to God's word, that we are hating on them. We are not hating on anybody. So when you go to share the truth, you need to share the truth in spirit and in love. And you need to share God's word, and you need to say, let me share with you. In God's word, it says, whatever. Now that's different from, I'm going to beat this into you and Bible thump you to where you come into submission. That's not going to get you anywhere, amen? If you're going to talk to somebody and share with them what God's word says, you need to do it in spirit and in love. Hey, we need to have a conversation. I want to share with you what God's word says about what you're talking about. God's word says this is wrong. By the way, does it matter what my opinion is? No, it's God's word. My dear friends, we are to judge the actions and not the people. I've spent a great deal of time of explaining to you that we aren't to judge the people. We judge the actions. And then we're to take the actions and compare them to God's word, and then to share God's word. And she said, so that makes me a hater. I said, no, it doesn't. Yeah, it does. Let me ask you this. So my wife, being the smart one of the family, she said, well, what if your friend was standing here talking and all of a sudden a poisonous snake was coming up around their feet? Would you say anything? Well, yeah. So would you tell your friend that the snake is about to bite, and if the snake bites them, they will die? Well, yeah. Well, what's the difference? If you're going to tell your friend that the snake's about to bite, and when the snake bites, you will die, but you won't tell your friend that if you're going to disobey God's word, that will lead you to death. How does that work out? We have got to get over this, I'm afraid to share God's word. We can't be thumping anybody. We need to share in spirit of truth and love and explain God's word. That's where we've messed up. We've got to explain God's word and share it in truth and love. When we do that, we are judging according to Scripture. That is the proper measure. That is the proper tool. And that's how we need to do that. So in talking with her, so you need to stand firm on what you believe. Today, we've gotten in a habit of Christianity, a form of Christianity, where we say, well, I'm just going to step back and keep my mouth shut and be non-confrontational. You need to take a stand for Christ because He took a stand for you. We can't be ashamed of the gospel. We can't be ashamed of the truth. We need to stand on the truth. You don't have to necessarily go with what God says. You have that choice. You can do what God tells you to do, and you can have an eternal life in heaven. Or you can reject that truth, and you can have an eternity in hell. Ultimately, it's your choice. True? All right. So I'm going to tell you what the truth is. And if you keep living like you're doing, if you keep living that way, if you keep behaving in this fashion, if you keep going down this road, then you are not going to go to the path that you need to go down. Share it in spirit, truth, and love. Speaking of that, let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. Ah, some of you remember that. I think you've been there before. I want to remind you, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak human or angelic languages, but I do not have love, I am a sounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Nag, 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 nag. I'm going to share in truth and love, and I'm going to share what God's Word says. If I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so that I can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. And if I donate all my goods to feed the poor, and if I give my body in order to boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Is not boastful. Is not conceited. You can read on, but I'm going to jump to the last verse, verse 13. Verse 13 reads, "Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." The greatest of these is love. Friends, we are not to judge people. We are to judge their actions. We've been doing it all along. You judge actions. You make a decision as to what's right and wrong based on God's Word, and you share that truth. That's our job. Do not negate, do not neglect that truth, first. Secondly, we sometimes as Christians will get that I'm holier than thou type thing going on. True? That is a sin, and we need to ask forgiveness of that sin. And that's what I want to encourage you to do. I ask you to work on four names tonight. I ask you to work on four names. I hope that you have those four names, and I want you to have them close to you. And I ask you to do a couple things. As I close, one of the things we've got to realize is our lost friends are about to be snake bit by Satan himself. And if we don't tell them the truth, they will die. And I don't want them to die. We want them to go to heaven. We need to lift their name up to heaven, right before the throne of grace. Number two, we have folks that have gotten away from church. Who knows somebody that has gotten out of church and needs to get back in church? Write their name down. Because I'm going to tell you, church gives you an accountability to help hold you straight and on the straight and narrow, to help constantly infuse you with God's Word. Number three, we've all been judged by other people, and God says in His Word to pray for our enemies. We need to pray for those folks. And number four, where we have judged others, we need to ask for forgiveness. Brian, do you mind? As Brian comes, and I'm going to pray to close in just a minute, I'm going to ask you to do a couple things. I'm going to stand up here in the front. And as I do, if you want me to pray with you, I will. Whatever needs you may have that brought you here tonight, I want to meet with you and pray with you. But I'm also going to ask all of you to do this. Those four names need to come boldly before the throne of grace tonight. And to do that, I'm going to simply ask, similar to the way that you worshiped an offering, that you come to the front, anywhere along the front, anywhere, and just take a moment and say, "Dear Lord, I'll pray for this person that they would come to know you. Dear Lord, I pray that this person would be able to come to church and give me the boldness to invite them both. Dear Lord, I pray for the person who has judged me. And dear Lord, I pray that you would forgive me for judging this person." Just that simple, that quick. And then just return back here. Don't leave. I've got one more thing I want to share with you when we close. So that we're not going to take long. So just bring those forward. If you would, just stand. Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for speaking to our soul. I thank you, Lord, for your word that cleanses and is sharper than any tooth. Lord, it's just so sharp. It pierces our very soul. Lord, tonight, I pray for these four people that everyone has tonight, that you would receive them and work in their life according to your will. And Lord, that you would work in our life as well. Lord, use this time. In your most holy and precious name, I do pray and ask these things. Amen.